Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hey everybody, welcome to a Wednesday edition of Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Whenever I say the date, you always look at me in confusion, as if you don't know if I'm correctly stating the date correctly. It is actually not the date, the day of the week.
Day of the
Either
week.
Way, it's Wednesday, I
it
think.
It is Wednesday.
Welcome everybody. You're listening to us in the southern swath of Wisconsin. I'm here on 1580 AM as well as 101 F, or you're listening on 1580 AM out in Madison as well as 92.7 FM. And we're here on the Shaw at 101 FM as well as 540 AM.
See, you got the day right, but then you try to tell me that you were where I am and I am where you are. But
you
that's
know what,
not
dude?
The case.
You know what, dude? It's one of those days. What could go wrong when you have, like, I don't know, a 40-degree swing in temperature and it's raining and crappy? If you're out there and you're listening and you have this strong desire to just crawl in your bed and put a pillow over your head, you know what? I'm with you. My hibernation instincts are kicking in and I am bearish.
Yeah. But as long as you're listening to Dueling Tangents on Devil Radio, the Shaw, or on the Devil Radio app, you should be good. We'll keep you updated.
We'll keep you updated.
Inside, you can stay dry. Nice Wednesday afternoon here. I am broadcasting, Brian, from the Solidarity Realty Studios here in Madison. We got a number of headlines that we're going to dive into.
Kind of
a ton of different trains of thought, as we tend to say around here.
As we tend to do, but this time we actually have a lot of different things to get to. So let's just get to them.
Yeah.
Let's not sit here and linger in the lobby. Let's go on inside.
All right, Brian, you want to lead her off for where we're going today?
Yep, we have my thing. I'm sorry. We have polling here. We have new polling out by Franklin, Charles Franklin, and the Marquette University Law School. Yep. Thank you very much. Sorry, I lost it. I was on a different tab, which is for later in the show, which we could have just done instead. But you know what? I'm letting you know we're going to go with this polling.
We're just going to stay where we are.
Yep, that sounds good. You got this?
Yeah.
Great. Go for it.
Wait, the Wisconsin? No, I don't have the polling. You had the polling. I've
yes,
got the story related
here. Okay,
to the
now
polling.
I have it. Okay,
I was
going
to say, you can't tell me you lose the polling and then toss it to me. I've got the follow-up story, Brian.
Thank you very much. I got it. All right, sounds good, everybody. we really literally had this conversation like 5 minutes ago. All right, in a new law school Marquette law school poll, this is about several things, but specifically we're going to talk about confirming Ketanji Brown Jackson as a Supreme Court justice, okay? Basically, you either identified as a Republican, an independent, or a Democrat, and this is how it breaks down, because it's pretty much simple here. The survey was conducted between March 14th and the 24th, interviewing 1,000 adults nationwide with a margin of error of plus or minus 4. Jackson's confirmation hearings were conducted near the end of the survey period, with 837 interviews conducted before the hearings began and 187 interviews conducted after hearings began. My guess is it didn't really change much.
Probably not.
People's minds. Those interviewed after the Senate confirmations hearings were somewhat more likely to say they supported her confirmation, though. Jackson was supported by 64% of those interviewed before the hearings and by 72% after the hearings had begun. Prior to the hearings, 44% said Jackson was very qualified, while after hearings began, 52% said she was very qualified. Support for Jackson's appointment is 86% among black adults, followed by Hispanic respondents at 76%. Support among white people is at 59%. Huh.
Hmm.
So here's how it's broken down by party identification. Here's just the support numbers, because you can assume the opposite, oppose, or at least very close to it. Republican, 29% support. Great.
Yeah.
Democrat.
Sounds about right, though. Like, I would, I mean, if it was zero, I'd be shocked. And if it was anything higher than 29%, Brian, I would be like, oh, interesting. Yeah.
Democrats support 95%.
Sounds about right.
And then independents, 67%. So,
two out of three, the independents in favor of, which is reflective of the kind of whole takeaways from the Marquette polling.
Yeah, essentially two-thirds of public support is confirm Ketanji Brown Jackson. And they break it down by male and female. Male support 61%, female 69%. Very interesting there.
Yep.
We just went through white, black, Hispanic, other multiple. Ideology. Support or oppose Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. Very conservative, 27%. Somewhat conservative, 45%. Moderate, 69%. Somewhat liberal, 92%, and very liberal, 94%. So even the very conservative have more support than the very liberal oppose.
Yeah.
It's fun. So in general, basically, just confirm her. She's fine. Let's move on.
I'm surprised that I don't know if it is just because the most recent one was so rushed with Amy Coney Barrett being confirmed to the Supreme Court last fall. But I am a little surprised that we did still have, the full week, because a lot of the national coverage, Brian, of what's been going around with the hearings aren't all questioning periods. It's a lot of senators grandstanding, and we had, I believe it was Tom Cotton last week, or uh-huh. Ben Sasse, one of the two of them, was talking about how a lot of the questioning is just because of some jackassery with the senators trying to get a minute in the media.
I posted the zoom in on Cruz's face.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh boy, he felt seen in that comment, and that got picked up on the camera clip that you did share. But it's definitely, it feels like we're kind of just wading through the same waters right now. And so, yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. We should just go ahead and confirm KBJ to the Supreme Court.
Mostly because the people want her confirmed, too.
Mm-hmm. She's got the support.
Makes sense. All right, so staying in the Supreme Court, we're going to move over to what the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has to say about an actual Supreme Court justice, and we're talking about
Clarence Thomas. Yeah. So we got a piece over at the Wisconsin Examiner, but our friend, it is commentary from our friend Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Clarence Thomas, Recusal and Wisconsin is what the article and the piece is titled, Brian. So essentially, Matt Rothschild here is diving in about some of the revelations that we've been having around Clarence Thomas's wife and the January 6th insurrection and his failure to recuse from the cases so far that have been heard before the country's highest court when it comes to adjudicating disputes around finding information on January 6th. So, should we read right from the piece?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah. So, if he doesn't resign as Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the piece is actually a little typo there, but has properly asked him to do, Justice Clarence Thomas at least needs to recuse himself from any cases dealing with the January 6th uprising. And he sure should have recused himself when he was the lone dissenter in a case earlier this year about the release of Donald Trump's records relating to January 6th.
Huh.
Yeah. So 8-1. All the other justices, Brian, all the conservative court 6-3. And 8-1, Clarence Thomas was the lone vote there, not to disclose the information that Donald Trump was trying to hide in regards to January 6th.
Wow, very good.
Yeah, kind of an outlier, some would say.
Yeah.
I think it begs the question, why was he an outlier? But because Thomas's wife, Ginny, not only attended the Stop the Steal rally, she also sent a couple dozen text messages to Trump's chief of staff, urging him to do whatever it takes to keep Trump in power. Her communications were part of Trump's records that were of issue in the case. Thomas had a clear conflict of interest, and he violated judicial ethics by sitting on the case and actually ruling in favor of Trump, thus shielding his wife.
Great job.
Yeah. There's absolutely no way Clarence Thomas can be a neutral arbiter in the future of January 6th cases, in any future January 6th cases, is what Matt Rothschild over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has in today's Wisconsin Examiner.
Yeah, and then he goes on to talk about the flagrant conflict of interest, reminding him that here in Wisconsin, we need better recuse rules for justices and judges, too. I implore you to go to Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and read this entire thing, because he goes into the John 2 against Scott Walker, mm-hmm. And all the people that have not recused in the past. It's fantastic going into the state of Wisconsin. But we also have just a real quick blurb here. Ron Johnson gets to go and write an amicus brief to as a friend of the court for Wisconsin, talking about drop boxes.
Yeah, so this is the other recusal. It's a little side tangent. It's related to it, Brian, but
we're in the courts still.
Yes, we're still in the courts, and also over at the Wisconsin Examiner, we got Henry Redman saying, headlines, Wisconsin Supreme Court allows Senator Johnson to file brief in the Dropbox lawsuit. So, Brian, he is the presumptive Republican nominee for U.S. Senate this fall, and his name will be on the ballot. But apparently, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is still A-OK with him submitting a brief in regards to the absentee ballot Dropbox case that will be before the court this summer, and ultimately determine how absentee ballots can be collected this fall.
Well, it's not like he's Brian Kemp and he's, you know, overseeing his own election and printing voter rolls. At least it's not that, right?
It's not that direct. I guess it's at least not that direct. He's not directly overseeing how the rules apply to him.
This is more of the general conflict of interest.
Yeah, because the Supreme Court, they're not necessarily agreeing with Johnson. They're just saying, I guess, yeah, you can file something, and we'll take it under consideration.
Yeah, thank you for your... Yeah, sure, you can write a letter. Oh, yeah, say you're a friend of the court. Sounds good.
Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We've got a number of other Wisconsin headlines and national headlines that we're going to dive into this show. You can give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM in Madison and the Shaw 101 FM out in Waukesha. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
And we're going to give you some recommendations on where to get coffee. That'll be good.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna have an excuse to go and get myself one on the morrow.
Yes. We'll be right back.